Trustee Gillis. Trustee Vasquez.
Here.
Trustee Brennan.
Here.
Trustee Johnson.
Here.
Trustee O'Connell.
Here.
President Odusi.
Here. Okay, if I can ask everyone to raise stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Nothing. Okay. So we have nobody calling in. Okay. Okay. So we have no citizens' comments. So we'll go right to the elected official comments and announcements. Why don't we start with Erica, if you mind?
Yeah. Sorry, I don't have myself set up.
Yeah. Here. Okay. Well, then I'll ask Bob. No worries. Go ahead.
I think I'm correct in this. The bike exchange is this weekend, the Roosevelt from 10 to 1.
Yes.
Yes.
Correct.
So that's a great community event. And I think the police department will be there registering bikes. Okay. So I think I got it covered.
All right. Okay, Ken.
I don't have anything to add. My wife is making me give away bikes to clean the garage, so I will be there for you.
Making you? Okay.
Yes, she is making.
But you can, it's an exchange.
So. I know. Well, she won't let me. She's like, we're
no more bikes, not even exchange.
My kids are grown now. She's like, get rid of the bikes.
All right. Okay. Good stuff. All right. Thanks, Katie.
Yep. And I plan to be there to register a bike or two, if I can ride two over. I don't know how to do that, but remains to be seen. I also wanted to mention that the library today had a fantastic event to view the solar eclipse, and they had all sorts of, it was really neat. And it was a nice community feel, and the Roosevelt students were out too. So, and the fire engines were going by. It was just a real, down home River Forest feeling. And so very enjoyable. And it was nice that the library hosted that. Thanks. That's all I have.
Thanks, John.
Nothing to add. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, John. Rez?
No comments today.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Sorry, I didn't mean to.
No, it's fine. It's fine. So I'd like to start with a land acknowledgement. As we begin, we are mindful that we hold these meetings on lands that was once and still inhabited by Indigenous people, including the Ojibwa, the Chippewa, Menominee, Potawatomi nations, and more. We'll remember our nation's history and honor the Native people as stewards of this land that was colonized, and that River Forest continues to be a place many people from diverse backgrounds live and gather. Happy Eclipse Day, everyone. Hopefully everybody got to see it in one form or another. And if you didn't, I'm sure there are thousands of ways to see it online. So take advantage of that, because it was pretty cool. When I was a kid, we had a box and poked a hole and you looked at the sidewalk and said, hey, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. So it seems like the technology every time we come around gets better and better to see this.
Yeah.
It was really cool to be able to look at it and just see the 94% totality.
Yeah.
I wanted to also just note for folks that June 3rd is going to be the Lincoln Pride and Inclusion rally and walk. So have that on your calendars. It's always an amazing event. I unfortunately couldn't attend last year because I had COVID, but really looking forward to that this year. And I believe we're going to have a flag raising as well to go along with that. So it'll be wonderful. And I think that's it for me.
Yeah, I don't have nothing to report either, other than, although I didn't go to the library. I know that was, I went to Keystone Park. And it was really cool to see a lot of people out in Keystone Park with their glasses. It was really, really cool. So, I hope everybody enjoyed it like we did. All right, that's all we have. So I have. So it sounds like everybody else has. We'll go ahead.
No.
Okay, sorry. So we'll go ahead and present the budget. So do we open up the public meeting?
We'll do the presentation first.
Okay, very good.
You ready, Luke? Cool. All right. Good evening, everyone. Rosie and I will be doing our presentation of the proposed budget for the fiscal year 2025. Before we kick it off, I just want to make sure to thank Rosie for taking the lead on this budget. It's a lot of work for several months to compile all the projected numbers, all the planned numbers, and all these documents. A lot of work goes into it. A lot of staff put a lot of time into it. We think that it's a great transparent document and a great asset to the community. Even reading through it, I learn new things each time that I've gone through it. So I encourage everyone in the public to see how much is going on and how much work goes into it, and the fact that we can kind of back up all the work that we do. So tonight is just a presentation of the budget. I know the Village Board has had it for a few days, but it's a lot of information. So we just plan to cover some of the highlights tonight. And we encourage you to ask any questions as we go through. Following the presentation, we'll just have a public hearing for the budget. That's a requirement to allow for any public comment. This was published in the newspaper about 2 weeks ago in accordance with state statute. And then at the second meeting in April, April 29th, our special Village Board meeting, we will have the ordinance for budget adoption on the agenda. That'll be right before the next fiscal year starts. And with that, I will hand it off to Rosie.
Good evening, everyone.
It's this way.
Oh, I better keep the glasses on. It's funny. I just watched a clip of Lucille Ball giving an award, and she didn't have her glasses. And like 20 people went up on the stage to give her a pair of glasses. It's like, don't leave home without your glasses.
Right. That's the truth.
The village remains in a strong financial position due to sound fiscal. Sound fiscal policies and decisions over the past several years. I want to thank the Board of Trustees for their continued support and strong leadership, and acknowledge the hard work and good stewardship of the village staff in managing our operations. So we'll start off highlighting the budget document. The village's current budget has received the Distinguished GFOA Award, and the fiscal year 2025 budget that we're presenting tonight is designed to continue receiving this prestigious award. As Matt said, this whole document has a lot of information, but if you look at the budget message, which begins on page 8 of your budget, that summary gives a lot of detail in a summary form that can really give you an idea of this year's accomplishments and next year's goals and objectives. The Village Board's goals and accomplishments are contained in the budget. These goals and each department's goals speak to the village's three guiding principles, which are to ensure that the village provides a safe and welcoming community for its residents, business owners, and institutional partners, enhance property values through strengthening quality of life, and implement strategies to stabilize our property taxes. So let's take a look starting at the general fund. It is important to note that this is the main operating fund for the village, and the fiscal year 2025 general fund budget is balanced. We anticipate that revenues will increase 6.25% and recurring expenditures will increase 5.1% in fiscal year 2025. Some of the larger non-recurring expenditures listed here will be financed with fund reserves. As a result, the general fund operating budget as presented is balanced for fiscal year 2025. As you can see, some of the non-recurring expenditures include our liability insurance. We're going to pay partial with reserves on that. $60,000 is for initiatives towards the traffic study, the village-wide traffic study, and some miscellaneous police and fire equipment. So part of that is three electric bicycles that we're really excited about, and a lift chair for the fire department.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
I don't know if you want to wait. You're dipping into the reserves. Is this just a one-time thing, or do you foresee?
The non-recurring, our goal, as in past years, is to use reserves for these one-time expenditures. It's not, okay. It's only one-time expenditures. So the electric bikes and the lift chair will then go into the capital equipment replacement fund going forward. But when you're purchasing something new, it needs to come out of the general fund. So then we'll plan for those replacements.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Sure. So let's take a look at general fund revenues. The total revenue increase is 6.25. If you can see by category, you can see that some of the larger increases are in interest, because we're seeing much better return on our investments than what we did in the last few years. And in grants and contributions, we have the $100,000 grant for sidewalk improvements in next year's grants and contributions. As we move on to some of the major revenues we have property tax include a 4% increase. The annual levy increase is based on a maximum of 5%, or the annual increase in the CPI, whichever is lower. From December of 2021 to December of 2022, the CPI increase was 6.5. The Village Board, as you recall, you voted to increase the levy by 4% to ease the burden on taxpayers. Revenues include the second installment of the 2023 levy, which will be collected in July and August of 2024, and then the first installment of the 2024 levy will be collected in February and March of 2025. The second payment, which we receive in February and March, will be an estimate. It's an estimate based on 55% of this current year's levy. So we'll know better numbers when we actually set the levy next year. And then, so if you look at state and non-home rural sales tax revenues, they are slightly lower than the fiscal year 2024 budgeted amount, partly due to state laws that have been in place now for several years, and the CPI increase is starting to settle down and get a little more stable. It was 3.4 for the 12 months ending December. So it's been lower than the last 2 years. We still expect the sales tax to remain strong, but future estimates are conservative because of the uncertainty in the economy and future state legislation. This budget does not consider the proposed state legislation to eliminate the local share of grocery tax. Mm. The loss of this revenue would have a significant impact on this budget, and we will have to look at that in time.
And that's what I was concerned with. This is where the governor has been proposing to cut the grocery tax, right? So, Rosie, oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Nope. I was going to ask you, Rosie, what do you anticipate? What the amount? What do we receive in grocery sales tax? Is it approximately $1 million or a little above
it? It's approximately $1 million. It's rough estimate, but it's close. It's right around that amount.
Okay, so that's on an annual basis, right?
Correct.
Okay, and that's great. Okay. Oh, yeah, that's what it's proposing. So that's concerning, because we need to make it up. And I'm not, maybe this is premature, and maybe I'm hoping you have an answer, like how are we going to deal with it? And I know the board needs to discuss it, but Obviously, this to me makes it a little more serious about our commercial districting and what we're zoning to bring in more economic development, because we have to make up the $1 million loss on an annual basis and has to come somewhere. So if it doesn't come from commercial property, we're going to end up probably taxing our residents. And I really don't want to do that, especially when we are trying to focus on easing the burden on them. We did that this past year. So I may be jumping up here a little early, but I'm really concerned because of the $1 million annual basis. But,
us too. And you know, staff, we're looking at, you know, other revenue possible, what we can, you know, increase without impacting residents. But you're right, it's going to have a significant impact that we'll have to make, you know, some major decisions on, you know, where that, I mean, obviously the we don't want to cut services or anything. So it's a big, big thing that we are all looking at.
And Rosie, if it does happen and we lose the whole million per year, how long, and I'm anticipating it's going to be long, how long will the, in terms of time, will it impact us?
Probably 3 months. I mean, once it's in effect. Yeah.
Okay.
From what we've heard, they're going to give us some time to prepare for it, but not much. But we're 3 months in arrears, so it would be a 3 month that we would start noticing a large decrease.
And just to add, I know the Illinois Municipal League and all the other lobbying efforts that are going on in Springfield is asking for that, is more delay in the grocery tax. It's inevitable that Governor Pritzker will eliminate the grocery tax. Now, there are discussions about what could potentially replace that grocery tax, and it's probably taxes we won't see or get, and that's in gaming and cannabis primarily. And then, of course, we're fighting for additional income tax, you know, through the local distribution fund. So without any additional monies from there, I don't think we're going to see, unless I'm wrong here across the board here, we're going to see any gaming or cannabis stores opening up anytime soon in our community. But
yeah, but I recall too, Kathy, that when that issue came up before, our residents didn't want us to bring in any cannabis or gaming into the village.
Yeah. Well, we'll share those. I think Governor Pritzker has also put an editorial in the newspapers and mentioned that. That's his give to the municipalities.
For the delay, is there a sense of how long that delay looks that we might be able to negotiate to?
No, not yet, Erica. They're really debating that now. And I don't even know if they're going to address it until the end of session, because it's a budget item. And it's very sensitive, as you can imagine. So, but that is what everyone's fighting for, is delay of the inevitable.
Yeah. And I imagine residents considering this may be more open to cannabis if we have locations that we are available to.
Yeah. I mean, of course, that's tinier than the grocery tax, but those were, I mean, we don't have gaming, but
if you look at those numbers, you know, what we've collected and what the state has collected, that's way down now, you know, with,
it all goes directly to very specific. We don't see it in our.
Right.
General.
Exactly. But I mean, even if you look at our budget numbers, what we said we were going to get, what we're getting is, you know, the industry is not that strong right now.
Matter. I mean, you couldn't put more than one up anyway.
No, I know that. Our share of a whole different state is minimal.
Agreed. Okay. Sorry to interrupt you, Rosie.
No, it's definitely been a conversation, ongoing conversation with staff. And I just wanted to add, aside from looking at some of the revenue enhancements or other options that we have in our toolbox, we're also prepared to, if we have to defer purchases or things just because it's in the budget, you know, if this comes down by the end of the session, we may have to rethink a lot of the things that are already in the budget and kind of kick those down until we figure out some of those revenue enhancements. So we're having those conversations as we go with with staff keeping everyone in the loop about what might need to happen.
Yep.
On that lovely note, better things coming, right? Just trying to. So in like we talked to income tax, we are seeing higher revenues coming in through that, and we hope to get, you know, increasing increases in that. And we'll wait for the Illinois Municipal League's predictions do continue to say those are increasing. And we also, we are receiving increases in ambulance fees due to the program, the GEMT program that we've been in for 2 years now. So other revenues, the refuse is based on our contract that, did I go the wrong way? Sorry. Oops. What did I do?
Oh, sorry.
There we go. The refuse contract is based on our 5-year contract. So that's a 3% increase on the fees related to our collection, solid waste collection fees and composting fees. The parking fines, we are increasing this fiscal year to be more in line with fines charged in neighboring communities. These fines haven't been increased in over 10 years. The cost of CPR classes, the materials, we're increasing those, and we're seeing much higher demand for these classes. Fire department has done a great job promoting these, and we've seen a significant amount of increase in participation. And so no other fees are proposed in this budget, but like Matt said, we are looking at many avenues for the future to see where we can make up the loss. So as we look at general fund expenditures, here's an overview of each of the expenditure categories. And in total, our increase is just over 4%. Obviously, personnel services and benefits are a large part of our budget. Personnel services are driven by the negotiated contracts with our 4 bargaining units. They're all 4 are under current contracts, and the only contract up for renewal at this point is the fire contract, which are in negotiations now. The budget also includes a 3% adjustment for all non-union positions, and there is no new positions in this new budget presented to you. On the benefit side, as you can see, there's a 2.14% increase. This also includes health insurance premiums and the pension fund contributions in these numbers. The pension fund contributions are based on the previously approved pension fund policy and recommended actuarial determinations. With the consolidation of the investments for both Articles 3 and 4 pension funds, you know, the goal is to see more stability in pension contributions. And the village continues to be industry trends with insurance premiums. As you can see, we had slight increases in HMO and dental, and we had a decrease in our PPO premiums. So that was very good news. Now, as we move to contractual services increased just over 20.1% from the fiscal year 2024. This has a lot to do with our 911 contributions have gone up over 35% due to call volume and the number of communities using the center. And as I spoke of earlier, the liability insurance, we saw a large increase and a portion of that will be paid with reserves.
Are you saying the number of communities, meaning it went from 5 to 3?
Yes, right. Okay. Yeah, just with the we only have 3 communities included in there.
Right.
So, yes. So we've seen increases over the last.
Now we are doing something.
Right. We're working. That's
working. On
we're
it.
Working we on that.
Grant. To...
Correct. The dispatch center did receive a grant to help enable consolidation. So I've been working with Ryan Staunton, the dispatch director. We have an extension on that grant to give more time to find a solution that will bring cost savings.
Yeah, good. All right, that's good.
Continuing on with some other contractual services, the increases include enhancements to ongoing services, including the senior snow removal, some reinstatement of annual maintenance programs for the street, and communication costs. The police department will be implementing Lexapol like the fire department did last year, and this is designed to keep policies and procedures up to date and keep track that staff is aware of these policies. So this is a great program that fire department already has implemented and is using. Other miscellaneous, we have the zoning ordinance review, monthly newsletter, communication services, and maintenance of the sidewalks. We have an increase this year. We received a grant, and we're going to make the sidewalks ADA accessible.
Before we go to commodities, Rosie.
Pardon?
Before we go to commodities.
Yep, sure.
I did just have a question about the pre-hires and that adding to the budget. What does that entail for our budget-wise, the higher costs?
Pre-hires?
Yeah.
So the pre-hires were included in the budget for the last several years as an attempt to keep the police department fully staffed. The challenge with new police officers is it's a lengthy process until they're able to be on the street alone because of all the training in the academy, because we are paying trainees in the academy and they're not even on the street. And then there's several months that they're in training when they're here. So though the cost of those pre-hires full salary is included in the budget.
Got so it. They're getting salary for going through training externally and then internally.
Exactly. They're considered full employees in the eyes of benefits and salary.
Great. Thank you.
So, moving on to commodities. So there's a decrease in commodities of 23%, a little over 23%.
The next slide, please.
Oh, sorry.
You had it, yeah.
You had
Thank
it,
you. Right. There we go.
Sorry.
Thank you.
The biggest the reason why you see the decrease is because body cameras were purchased this year. So that was $190,000 budgeted this fiscal year. And then so to offset that, any increases in the cost of with the CPI of 3.4% increases that. And we have in commodities, you'll see the electric bikes, the gas masks, and fire stair chair, all one-time purchases. Mm-hmm. And then also here in capital outlay, we have the implementation of the initiatives from the village-wide traffic study. So if you look at the 3-year projections for the general fund, the general fund is balanced for fiscal year 2025. As previously mentioned, $450,641 in non-reoccurring expenditures are to be funded with reserves. And we are currently projecting deficits of $600,015 in fiscal year 2026. And $737,051 in fiscal year 2027. Even with these projected deficits, the general fund still remains healthy and above the recommended 25% reserve balance.
Moving on, I just want to highlight that in the budget document for each department, there are several pages that include valuable information about goals moving forward in line with the three guiding principles from the Village Board, as well as past accomplishments and then performance measures. It's a good exercise for us to kind of keep track on the work that we do, and it helps justify any of the cost increases or decreases. So don't want to go into all of these. A lot of these are repeated each year because a lot of the work we do is repeated each year. I mean, ultimately, we're here to, keep the community safe and invest in infrastructure. Those are kind of our main charges, and that doesn't change. Having said that, each year there are different challenges. One item here for fiscal year 25 that's new is onboarding a new information technology contractor. We have a third-party managed services contractor that's in a couple days a week and helps us with all of our help desk tickets and network maintenance and all the rest of it. And we recently went out to RFP for a new contractor, and we're currently reviewing those proposals. So that will be a big initiative for the administration over the next few months to get that up to speed. We rely on technology heavily, especially our police department. And we want to make sure that with all the new technology and the additional cameras that are coming on board, we want to make sure that's acting at a level it needs to be. Our police department, a lot of the continued work that they've done for several years in focusing on community policing, having special events. I think in fiscal year 24, attended over 50 block parties. We continue to have quarterly safety meetings. One is coming up later this month, April 24th, here at Village Hall. Encourage everyone to attend that. The police department also responds to any traffic concerns to try and do targeted enforcement or targeted campaigns to address any problem areas that come up where maybe engineering level interventions aren't required. So if there's an uptick in parking or speeding complaints, the police department will respond to those accordingly if the resources are available. And then one other thing here about the technology, the police department is kind of boosting up some of the resident-facing tools on our website in terms of vacation watch lists, also overnight parking, trying to make it easier for residents to get some of those services. So we will continually push that out on communications. Go ahead.
Just a quick question regarding the body cams. Is there some type of leeway given to the upgrade or servicing of that? I mean, is that an IT? Or if they, obviously we have brand new ones, but should they, are we budgeting for the possibility of trying to, you know, service those things? I'm not quite sure how that IT related or.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as part of what was approved, the purchase, there was Axon, the firm that the body cameras that will provide some of the, or a lot of the maintenance and software upgrades for that. A lot of the integration is more on our side having it, but most of that is included in what was approved with Axon.
There's a couple of bills in Springfield right now that's floating around to consolidate the data because of the expense of handling all the data information. But I know your question is more about maintenance, and that would certainly be on our dime. But I think if we can consolidate some of these, you know, the data that is being held and manipulated and, you know, used, and that would be helpful. But I don't know where those bills are at. I mean, I don't know if they're going to pass them.
Right. Yeah, it would be similar to our rock salt purchasing through the state. They have a collective, and they're looking to include that data. So that's something we haven't necessarily looked into yet. Maybe PD has, but something we definitely want to monitor going forward. All right, then on to our fire department. One thing Rosie touched on briefly, the department's really taking a stance or an aggressive approach in increasing our training opportunities, working with Dominican and Concordia, and just trying to make it easier for residents to get that training. I do want to mention that the fees there are increased. We're not trying to make money off the CPR program, but we are trying to cover costs. There's our staffing and material things that go into that. So that's where that cost increase comes from. But really, we want as many people in town to be CPR and AED certified to keep everyone safe. And that a lot of the goals in the budget are reflect that. And then Public Works, the main items here are village-wide traffic study, monitoring that. We installed the temporary or the plastic bollards on Washington Boulevard last week, and we've gotten some positive feedback from residents along that corridor already. So that's something that we will be continuing to monitor. And then the main initiative will be the beginning of our lead service line replacement program. We are reviewing the plans for that. Currently, we have a deadline next week to submit our inventory and preliminary plan to the Illinois EPA next week, and we'll be sharing a lot of that information over the next few months. And then, of course, there's always the annual projects of resurfacing streets and an expanded campaign to take care of our sidewalks and intersections to make sure they are ADA compliant.
So now that we've covered the general fund, we'll take a look at some of the other funds that we also have budgets for. Water and sewer. This chart displays the water and sewer activity in fiscal years 2024 and 2025. The operating revenues are expected to exceed operating expenses in 2024. And total expenses are higher because they include capital items in the 2024 budget. Cash and investments are expected to decline in 2025 because of the budgeted capital expenditures. The fiscal year 2025 budget does assume average consumption. These projects were part of the capital improvement plan presented back in February. As you can see, the lead service line inventory and replacement program mandated by the IEPA is a multi-million dollar project that runs through 2042. We have $2 million budgeted this coming year for this project. Plus, we also have $150,000 budgeted for those residents who can't wait to for the program. If they need to, you know, if there's if they're doing construction, we also have money budgeted for those lead service lines to be replaced now. So the water and sewer rates, the village, the water and sewer rates include a 0.81% increase to rates. This rate is based only on the Chicago increase. It's a 10 cents increase to offset the 3.37% increase that the cost of water from Chicago increased. The city can increase rates on June 1st of each year up to 5% or the CPI. And they followed the true CPI and they raised it 3.37%. So our rates only reflect that. We did not increase any water rates for our operating or capital expenditures. And as you can see on the next page, we continue not to raise in our projections. We only increase in the next 2 years, in 2026 and 2027, based on Chicago water rates. They're according with our projections, we do not show an increase based on the lead service program and what future revenues do come in. We will have to review each year to make sure that our fund balance is still intact and meeting the 25% required fund balance. But as of right now, we drop below that in fiscal year 2027, but we'll take a look at that again next year before we present the budget to you. As you can see, here's the 3-year projected balances. And it goes below in 2027.
So this is the water, a lead replacement, right?
Pardon?
Including the lead replacement?
It's including the lead replacement. We reduced the the expenditure in the out years to $1 million each year, because we really just don't know how much we're going to be able to accomplish each year. So we've cut it back a little bit to see maybe that's more reasonable for the budget too.
Yeah. And we also know that we're not exactly sure how the loans will come out.
Correct. Right? We're hoping that we'll get funding or something.
Right. So there is a little bit of, you know, light beyond the tunnel, possibly.
Hopefully. Yeah. That's what we're hoping.
Right. Understood.
Okay, moving on to our pension funds. These funds have an actuarial analysis prepared each year, and so future contributions may be adjusted based on the actual results. When we get this done after the fiscal year is completed, we receive it in October, so that's when I usually come back if I need to do a budget amendment in October to make this change. But hopefully, I think we're seeing a little more leveling out of these contributions. The fire pension investments were consolidated in 2022, and police were in October of 2022. So as you can see, we have an increase of 1.29% for police pension and 1.1% for fire pension. Total is a 1.17% increase. MFT, this is our, we get our funding through the state from motor fuel taxes. As you know, we have annual street resurfacing projects. We use this fund for snow and ice control, for crack sealing and street patching. And this fiscal year in 2025, we've received a grant or funding from the Rebuild Illinois back 2 years ago. And now this project is planned for this fiscal year. If you look in the CIP, you'll see the full detail of what streets will be resurfaced from this grant. We received a little over $700,000, but we've spent some for planning already. And most of these projects that I'm going through, you've seen in when we presented to you CIP back in February, but all of these are in the back of the budget book too, if you want to have details on each of these projects. Like I said, the SERF is funded by the general fund and water fund. We make contributions each year to fund future purchases of vehicles and equipment. Here are some of the listings of what was presented in February of the purchases this fiscal year. Now you see a lot in vehicles, because a lot of these vehicles were deferred because of supply chain and when we could order them. Public Works, I believe, ordered those vehicles, tried to get them last year and finally have them in line to receive in May. Third quarter. Okay. And we should be receiving our ambulance in May. So we're excited about some new large purchases for the departments to replace some of the older vehicles that we have. SIF projects are similar to SERF. We presented these and there's no changes were made since these were presented to you in February. Funding for these range from ambulance fees, traffic control system, grants, and parking lot fees, a portion of that to repair parking lots. And staff is continually looking for grant opportunities to help fund some of these projects. So the hope is to continue to find grant funds for several infrastructure projects. Here's the list of what was presented back in February.
I'll just point out that the first line item is on the Village Board agenda for approval tonight, and we're already almost $20,000 under budget. So there's some good news. We're already saving. Look at, okay. So moving forward, so in the budget, we have projections for the next few years just to kind of help us strategize for some of these long-term projects or future purchases that will come in future years. It helps us plan ahead. So as Rosie mentioned with the water fund, we are projecting being below our fund balance in 27. That's largely due to the lead service line replacement. There's a lot of uncertainty with that. We're hoping to have funds come forward to cancel that out to keep our fund balance where it needs to be. And then the same concept with our general fund. Our fund balance requires that we have 25% of our in reserves. And as projected, we will have that over the next 3 years.
Can I ask a question on the permit fees?
Yes.
I know that one point in time we kind of talked about, you know, especially for commercial. And since, you know, prices have gone up, increases, are we not considering an increase in that fee?
We are considering, yes. So nothing is projected in the budget for that, but we have looked at some scenarios where whether connecting it to square feet of the property was most likely the easiest way to do it. So naturally, the larger building projects would be commercial projects. So, yes.
So going forward, you're saying you could change your permit fee at any point in time.
Gotcha. Correct. Yes. So I should mention that the parking fee or any of the other fees will come forward, and the water fee will come forward for Village Board approval.
Right.
This doesn't formalize any of those rate increases. Those will be subject to, since they'll require Village Board to pass an ordinance for those fees.
Yep.
So those will come. We've also been looking at our film permit fees as well. So a lot of those will be coming up over the next few months.
Okay. Great. Thanks.
This is just a real great example of what our pension obligations have increased over the last 10 years. I mean, I'd like to show 15 years because it's even more. But as you see, we've stayed in line with the general fund or the corporate levy staying right, you know, in between 3 and 4 million, whereas the pension funds continue to grow. So even though our levy increases each year, it's really not, it's going towards pension obligations. So this is just a chart just to show everybody, you know, that our property taxes are going towards pension obligation too.
Okay.
Then just a couple things. These are kind of our strategies around making sure that we are meeting our fund balance policies. We'll continue to monitor our health insurance costs and IPBC, which is our collective insurance. We're also encouraging staff to find grants and also conservatively purchase. You know, if we can defer items, we encourage that unless it's something pressing, or if there's other alternatives for certain purchases, we are encouraging that too, especially with looming grocery tax being threatened and other things. We want to make sure to be conservative with our purchasing. And then on the flip side of that, as we kind of just discussed, looking at all of our fees and revenue enhancements, making sure we're in line with our neighbors and making sure that and comparable communities, and also making sure that those costs are covering, or those revenues are covering our costs. And we're always looking for grant opportunities. But kind of to wrap it all up, despite the challenges that are kind of looming and pending out there, the village's finances are in strong shape. You know, the projected years, there show some getting close to being below our fund balance, but we have time to prepare for those. And in this budget, we are meeting our fund balance policy. And then we'll continue to seek additional revenues, whether it's by ordinance or grant, and we'll continue to be conservative with our purchases. Mm-hmm. And I'd just like to thank pretty much everyone in the village staff is involved one way or another in putting this together. So I'd just like to thank all of their hard work. They were kind of tired of looking at Excel and going through everything for a while, but I think that it came out to be a good product. And if anyone has any questions tonight or over the next few weeks, please let Rosie and I know.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for all your hard work, mm-hmm. everyone. I know it is a lot of work. It's a lot of detail. It's sometimes tedious, but necessary. So thank you on behalf of the board. So what else? So then we close your presentation and...
Yep, I just got to read a little script and see if there's any public input. Switch spots.
We can turn this off.
All right, we will call the public hearing for the proposed fiscal year 25 budget to order. The fiscal year 2025 budget was just presented to the Village Board for consideration. Pursuant to state law, the Village is required to hold a public hearing on its annual budget prior to its adoption. The notice of the public hearing was published on March 27th, 2024 in the Wednesday Journal. The notice must be published at least 1 week prior to the hearing. Since that day, the budget has been available to the public for inspection as a hard copy at Village Hall and also on the Village website. I invite the public to make any comments at this time. The Village will consider final approval of the budget at its April 29th meeting. Okay. Are there any public comments? We just need a motion to adjourn the public hearing.
Motion to adjourn the public hearing.
Second.
Yes.
Yep, please.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Great, thanks. Okay. Again, thank you on behalf of the Village Board and myself for all the hard work. It takes a lot to put this together, so thank you. So we'll move on to the consent agenda. If I need a motion to approve the consent agenda items A through J. Please.
Motion to approve consent agenda items A through J.
Second.
Very good. Any questions or comments on any one of those agenda items? Hearing none, I'd ask the clerk to please read out loud each item and then take the vote.
Consent agenda item A, Village Board of Trustees meeting minutes, March 25th, 2024. B, Village Board of Trustees executive session meeting minutes, March 25th, 2024. C, accounts payable, March 2024, $1,557,019.57. D, financial report, March 2024. E, administration department report. F, monthly department reports. G, budget amendment, fund transfer. H, a right-of-way encroachment waiver and agreement for an irrigation system in the public right-of-way with the property owners at 546 Park Avenue. I, purchase approval, rooftop unit RTU number 3 replacement, Cahill Heating, Cooling, Electric, Plumbing, and Sewer Incorporated, $81,300. J, purchase approval, Lama Software, the Davenport Group, $30,477.18. Mm-hmm. Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Johnson?
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Great. Thank you. Okay, so now moving ahead to, we have no consent items for separate considerations or recommendations from boards, commissions, and committees, and no unfinished business, but we have some new business and some exciting news. I'd like to get a motion, if I can, to concur with my appointment to appoint Jack Balick as the Director of Public Works and Engineering, effective May 6th. He's here in the audience, and as soon as we can get a motion and a second and a vote, we'll ask him to come up and talk about himself.
Motion to concur with the recommendation of the village president to appoint Jack Bylock as Director of Public Works and Engineering, effective May 6, 2024.
Second.
Great. In fact, Jack, why don't you come on up now and introduce yourself. We're really happy and pleased to have you here. Because we have people listen to our recording. So,
we just need to make take a vote after he speaks. We don't,
of course, forget. Yeah, not to forget.
I prefer if you go first.
I always forget.
Okay. Yeah, don't overwhelm us too much. We might forget to vote. No,
there
teasing.
You go. So, hello, my name is Jack Bialik. So, I guess quick background: I went to the University of Illinois at Chicago. There, I got my degree in civil engineering with a minor in history. After that, I was briefly in the private sector. I knew right away that I wanted to be in the public sector. So I worked for the Cook County Department of Transportation and Highways for a number of years, worked my way up to permits manager. When I was at the county, I felt like I wanted more personal touch, more, you know, work with the community or people. So that's when I moved to a municipality. In Northbrook, I was the assistant village engineer. When the village engineer left, they asked me to be the village engineer. That's what I was. I am graduating in May from my master's in public administration. So for me, the next step is I'd like to be a director of public works and engineering.
Yeah.
is where I am in my career. I will, you know, I look forward to getting to know everyone. And if you have any questions or any concerns, let me know.
Yeah.
I was trying to be brief because I don't want to get too long winded here.
No, that was perfect.
Yeah.
Anybody have any questions for Jack other than welcome aboard, hopefully?
Welcome, Jack. My question is actually maybe more to Matt than to you. Does this appointment entail a title change for this role?
Correct. So there will be some housekeeping in the village code to update the title change. So the rationale for why this is public works and engineering different than when Jeff Losser was public works and development services. Some of the feedback that we got from Jeff when he was leaving was that he felt that the public works piece between the operations and the infrastructure project management and the building department was maybe too much for the role. So we felt that it would be best to split it off and really focus, have someone devoted to the public works and infrastructure side, especially with the lead service line project coming on board. And then also Jessica has been doing a great job taking over the building department over the last few months since Jeff left. Since there's a lot of administration functions that are closely aligned with building in terms of zoning and the rest of it, we felt that that was a good fit. So this position will not be managing the building department, but rather just the operations and engineering function.
And does that kind of go back to when Eric and Lisa were here, kind of the same setup?
Yeah,
because Lisa was doing a lot of the building.
Can you repeat that? I didn't hear what you said.
It goes back to when Eric and Lisa were here, because I think Lisa was doing a lot of, as the assistant village manager, was doing a lot of the building permits and things.
Right.
So,
And, correct. And part of that, Lisa also managed the human resources function for the village too, right. Since we have a devoted expert in that. This kind of helps free up some time. I'm sure Jessica might disagree about how much free time there is, but that was the rationale behind this.
You didn't say you had free time. It just said
yeah,
freed up time to do something else. Yeah.
There is no free time.
Anyway, so
good point. Okay. All right. Any further questions for Jack? Well,
just welcome aboard.
Yeah, welcome aboard. Yeah, I know. Yeah. So let's go ahead and vote him in.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Well, there you go. You're official. Congratulations and welcome aboard. We look forward to seeing you on May 6th, right? Yep.
Thank you, everyone. Look forward to working with you. Thank
Congratulations
you.
On your graduation. All right. We have no executive session, so we'll ask someone to move to adjourn.
Okay.
In time for the basketball game.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
President Odusi.
Yes.